Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's go. Well, with JP and John.
92.9 FM. ESPN. I'm feeling good. I'm tapping my foot because it's Friday. Feels good. Yep. And there's a lot to get to. I am somewhat disappointed. Really, I should use a stronger word. I'm somewhat disgusted by what I saw from Minnesota last night. You know, a team we once thought we were ahead of here in Memphis. Right, we were putting them out of the playoffs a couple years ago. To a team you had to respect, and especially the guy that's leading it all, Anthony Edwards, and you're kind of telling yourself,
respect.
Well, they passed us. I'm going to have to deal with them. They're going to be a problem in the future for the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Dallas Mavericks are the problem. The Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic are the problem. What was that, Minnesota? What was that, Anthony Edwards? Well, y'all let Luka come in there, come into your house, and take everything from you. All your valuables. Looked like you couldn't do anything about it either. Or maybe you didn't want to. In fact, Brad Carson, I'm joined by executive producer Brad Carson.
What's happening? Happy Friday.
He is both producer and boss.
No. More so worker for the people.
As some others have observed, it looked like Minnesota was just happy not getting swept.
They want to get home or get into Belize or go on their trip to Aruba.
How were they not embarrassed by that performance in front of their home fans?
Got their asses whooped.
Luka literally pulls your heart out right there in the first quarter. It didn't take him long.
Good night, Wolves.
Oh, poor Cuttrell Macklin.
Yeah, our buddy.
Our Timberwolves super fan number one. That series is over.
They had the Memphis kiss of death there.
Yeah, it had gone well up until this point. Mm-hmm. And this Dallas team that I underestimated. And I had these folks, I was with Nick Friedell. We're riding on wrong street because we had Dallas losing the Clippers in the first round. How wrong are we?
Wild.
Now they're headed to the finals. Plenty, obviously, to discuss, but we have to talk about Luka Doncic doing things that we've never seen.
Woo,
20 of his 36, which, by the way, was his highest scoring output of the postseason. 20 of those points came in the first quarter. Man was talking cash-ish to Snoop and Jimmy Jam on the sidelines. He was giving it to anybody who wanted it, and he backed it up.
Yes, he did.
So that's the thing about it. I mean, Anthony Edwards can talk, but if you're not backing it up, boy, it takes something away from what you've been saying. And so Luka did all the talking last night, and he had a right to. Kyrie was good as well. And I tell you what, the more I watch them, the more I keep thinking about what Stan Van Gundy has said, the best offensive backcourt that we've ever seen in NBA history.
Agreed.
Just in terms of skill level, those two together. Luka and Kyrie, Minnesota certainly learned a lesson about them. And, yeah, maybe in doing so, maybe in watching, you know, Dallas take the mask off of them, we'll get to it, maybe Minnesota ain't so far ahead of the Memphis Grizzlies as maybe I and probably some others at one time thought. So we'll talk about that. Boston's obviously still the favorite in the finals, which will start on Thursday. So we've got plenty of time to talk about and preview those finals. And, unfortunately, to miss Fade Brad. Yeah, which won't be bad. I don't know. You got any? See, I don't do hockey, so I don't want to stretch you out there. I know less on hockey than you do on basketball and everything else. So we couldn't do that. We're gonna have to wait till Thursday for Fade Brad, and then you go out last night picking winners. Okay, you had Dallas plus 4.5. That was done by first quarter, and you also had the over on Kyrie, 23.5. He absolutely smashed it.
Yep.
And so, Brad, again, these are integrity picks. They are proof that he is not seeking losers. He is going with what he truly believes. Faye Brad took a hit last night. That said, we'll be back on Thursday and ready to give you some losers.
Preview for next Thursday.
Uh-oh. Don't give away too much.
Preview for next Thursday. We want people to listen today and next week. I think last night convinced me to change how my philosophy will be in the finals.
I already know what you're alluding to, and I might be there with you. We will discuss that. We'll discuss that more because I think something I'm already feeling might be what you're alluding to there. Mark Giannato's leaving the commercial appeal in 92.9 FM ESPN.
Happy for Mark, sad for us. Happy for Mark, sad for us. Way bittersweet for him.
Yeah.
He's taking a leap of faith.
And he's headed up to Chicago. He's headed up to my city.
Bringing the three kids and the wife, and they are moving north to be closer to family. And it's one of those choices in life, and I admire that. But at the same time, I'm sad about this news. We'll talk a lot about it today.
Yeah, we don't talk a ton about local media comings and goings, but we should in this case with Mark Giannato. We've discussed it, and I've talked about my admiration from him, certainly on my own show, but earlier with Jeff Calkins
as
well. Yeah,
that was nice.
And it's a loss for Memphis media. There's no doubt about that. He wrote a column today we'll discuss that maybe what happened in Washington when he left Washington to come to Memphis, maybe what happened there will happen here in Memphis now that Mark Giannato is headed out. And we wish him all the best as he makes the move up to Chicago. We got a new mock draft up at ESPN we will discuss. And Brad, why did you not tell me that Meg the Stallion and Glorilla were at FedEx Forum last night? Was Cardi B there?
Hold up.
Did we miss the twerk show?
She was here last night?
Bro, they sold it out. What were we doing yesterday?
I love her, too.
Were we so locked in on Faye Brad that we missed the fact that Megan the Stallion and Glorilla, Memphis's own, raised in Frazier, sold that thing out last night and apparently put on quite a show?
My wife and child.
You didn't know about this. I didn't know till I saw, like, retweeting people.
So
how did I miss out on this?
The show was last night?
I think so, man. DeMichael Cole and everybody was tweeting about it. We were just totally tuned out.
Well, because I got a family. I can't be going to see Megan Thee Stallion. My wife wouldn't let me do that.
Again, old Jason Young's movie. You know, the one that was lost in the flesh.
I would
have been there. I would have been there. Not 40-something-year-old Jason. Not Deacon Smith, though. But I can't, again, not glorifying those old days that I would have been there, but just sort of thinking about, you know, a testimony.
It was a hot girl party last night.
Yeah, it sounds like it, brother, and we missed out.
We were not there.
Meg was calling, concert goers onto the stage.
Wow.
Twerk Fest was happening. We missed it.
So Sane probably
we are probably better off. I don't know if Sane went. I've seen him retweeting folks. We'll ask Anthony Sane. I'm glad you brought it up about that at 11:30 or so. When we talk to him, we will also obviously preview the NBA Finals. We will talk about that new mock draft up at ESPN and who ESPN's got the Grizzlies taking at 9 at noon. We'll do the rundown like we usually do. Yeah, man.
I
got to be careful, man. Don't get me lost in the flesh.
Yeah. It can be easy. I just pulled up her Instagram account. That happens quickly.
Well, now, I mean, she has taken over.
She is unbelievable.
I'll tell you, the woman rap game right now, when you just used to, you know, there weren't many. I mean, you had Nicki Minaj winning the awards year after year after year, but now sort of what's come behind her with Cardi B, Meg Thee Stallion, and Glorilla. It's been incredible. It's like a renaissance in women's rap.
Last night
it was on display, apparently down in FedEx Forum. We were not there.
According to the advertisement here, this is not me saying this. It says it's the hottest asses on tour.
See, I'm going to let you say that.
That's what the copy says.
But we know it was a twerk fest down there.
Yes, sir.
I think if Sane didn't go, Then I think our man DeMichael Cole was down there. I know he was tweeting about it. We got to get a firsthand account of what was happening down there.
Tease on DeMichael,
by
the way.
Maybe live through them.
DeMichael's going to host some shows with Jeffrey in this upcoming month.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. As Giannotto makes his way to Chicago, I knew Jeffrey's going to be just fine. He's going to have a lot of folks we're familiar with. Obviously,
yes,
DeMichael Cole, a great talent.
Sir.
Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal, so I look forward to that. Mention it, and then at 125, we'll talk to Super Bowl 17 champion and former NFL MVP Joe Theismann. He is a Memphian.
Hey.
Was named recipient this week of this year's AutoZone Liberty Bowl Distinguished Citizen Award. Sorry about that. He was named recipient back in February. He's getting the award on Sunday at the Memphis Hilton, and we'll ask him about receiving the award. I'm sure Joe's got a fantastic speech prepared. They've obviously got the Golf Classic on Monday. It joins a fantastic list of previous Distinguished Citizen Award winners from the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. We'll also ask him a little bit about the NFL and what he's hearing out of Commanders OTAs about the great Jaden Daniels, the LSU product that I one time thought, as a Bears fan, I wanted. Obviously, Bears went with Caleb Williams. Commanders get Jaden Daniels. They got a good one. We'll see what Joe's hearing about him at about 125. So lots to get to. We'll keep it quick here before we get to Anthony Sane, because I want to hear from him on what he thought about Minnesota's effort, but more so what he thinks about these NBA finals. That was impressive. And for me, this whole playoffs has sort of been an awakening on Dallas. Me awaking up. And this is not new. If you've listened to Brad and I pretty much the last couple of weeks, it's been that. Now, I'll give Brad credit. He had jumped on them and started to believe before I did. Brad actually had Dallas picked in this series when we did our series picks beforehand. I was still stuck on Minnesota. And what I had seen in terms of them taking apart, like defensively dominating the world champs, the defending champs in Denver, I'm coming into that series and saying Minnesota in six, and I think a lot of people, and we discussed the athletic survey that had the scout, the front office, all anonymous, obviously, to get the access, but the scout, the anonymous front office guy, and the anonymous head coach all had Minnesota in six. So I don't think I was on an island here in terms of my confidence. That's why I go back to you, Brad. You were a believer in Dallas. You had turned over that page before I had. It for me, and we've discussed this, as amazed. And last night you're watching a 20-point first quarter, and you have to be astounded at what Luka's doing offensively. Just tearing apart a defense that was number one in the league this year. A defense that was shutting down the defending champs. You were amazed by the offensive skill. But again, to me, the thing that has been the most impressive is what they've done defensively.
Yep.
And real quick before I get to that, didn't I tell you yesterday that little switch – Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, switching them up.
Yep.
Right? Like they did in game four to extend the series, putting Jaden McDaniels on Kyrie, Anthony Edwards on Luka. Yes, it affected Dallas, that adjustment in game four. One going to mean a dang thing for the rest of the series. And what'd you see? Because again, it goes back to no matter what you throw defensively at Luka, you might get him off for a game. You're not going to speed him up, period.
No, nope.
But you might get his shooting touch off for a game. You're working him. It's a new body. Dort was the same deal with OKC. Looked good at first. He figures it out. He adjusts to the adjustment, and then he's owning you. He's owning you.
Yes.
I mean, think about what he did to Gobert back there in what was a game three when you're embarrassing him, whatever game that was, you're embarrassing him out on the perimeter. Yesterday, he embarrassed that whole Timberwolves defense, a defense that, again, was a proud one that had all the answers, certainly in the previous series against Denver. He is destroying them. But back to it, I'm more impressed, as impressive as that is, and I think I agree with Van Gundy. I think I've been brought around to it that backcourt's as good as we've ever seen offensively. I'm more impressed with what they've done defensively. It's what they've done defensively. How locked in they are. I never before these playoffs, I never would have bought in, even after the trade deadline, and you show me that Dallas is eighth in the league in defense after acquiring Gafford right at the trade deadline, P.J. Washington. I said, sure, that's great. That was an improvement. They're a middle of the road, probably bottom half of the NBA in terms of defense before you made that trade, and then you finish the regular season strong.
Yep.
But different level in the playoffs. You got Luka and Kyrie out front. How are you guys going to be able to nail things down defensively in the playoffs once you take it to a new level? They've done it now. Again, you look at what they did to OKC.
That's where I'm going.
The physical nature in which they dispatched them and played defense. SGA's always getting to the line, always getting to the basket. They cut that off. And then they go up here
And for the most part, up until the last couple of games, you really cut off Anthony Edwards' water, mm-hmm. you know, compared to what he had done previously in the last, you know, in these playoffs. And so I am just as impressed, if not more so, by what this team is accomplishing defensively. You know, Gafford, Lively, they're a big part of that as well. P.J. Jones. Washington is too. Jones, too, is that role guy who's long, and you can put him as a different matchup on guys, versatile defensively. It's a credit to Jason Kidd. It's obviously a credit to their front office in terms of the changes they made at the trade deadline. But it's got me, Brad, to go to something that you alluded to, looking at this series against Boston through a completely new lens. Of course, and I still believe this to be true, I'm not changing this. There's no excuse for Boston not to win the title. You're the one that's been here. It's the second finals appearance in 3 years.
Yep.
And frankly, all of the pressure is on you. You know, you've got the Batman and Robin. But not just that, you've got everything else. You're better than you were with Marcus Smart last year. We talked about that, how you filled that hole. Derek White's just emergence as this two-way star, and that's happened over the last couple of seasons. But what Drew Holiday has brought to it as well. You're telling me, you know, Porzingis is going to be added to this mix. That's a daunting task, and I still believe they should be the favorites, that there's no excuse for them. Dallas, been to two Western Conference Finals last 3 years, first time in finals. So this should be a new level for them. All of that said, to go back to my point, I'm looking at it through a new lens because of what I've been awakened to with Dallas on both sides of the ball.
Yes.
And so I kind of get the feeling that you're leaning towards Dallas. I'm going to stop short of that.
Yep.
But what I will say is I cannot wait now for this series because I can't wait to see if Luka Doncic, and I'm not going to say by himself because Kyrie's a huge part of this.
Right.
But if he can go, a Boston defense we've held up.
Yeah.
They beat a better defense in the playoffs than OKC. In these playoffs, OKC was second. Boston's third. Yeah. They've already knocked off OKC. They knock off Minnesota, which was number one in the regular season. Boston's got a good defense. So what for this Dallas team and Luka Doncic that doesn't care what you throw at him? And so I think, you know, this thing could be a lot closer than I would have initially said if you told me before the playoffs, as we're getting closer, it's going to end up being Boston and Dallas.
So I won't give my pick yet because we're going to do that next Thursday. But
well, and that's against the line, and it's game by game. So I don't think it matters so much what you.
Here's what I will
for
predict.
The series.
Dallas, everything you said, you absolutely spot on. And I'm glad you brought up the Thunder series because that's what illuminated me on the Dallas Mavericks because they're a young team like the Timberwolves.
Took down the one seed.
The problem is the Timberwolves, and no disrespect to Mike Conley, but those guards abused Mike Conley and some of these dudes up front in the backcourt. But to the series coming up, I think it's going to go seven because I think that Dallas now has proven that they're strong enough, regardless of who you pick for the series.
Sure.
I would probably say that this series is going to go six or seven games.
They're so good on the road.
Yes.
First off. And Boston, historically, at least with this crew, hasn't been great. They were last year, but they had not been great at home.
Yeah.
You know, dropping all those game twos at home and everything else. And so there's a lot of – and not to mention, we're going to get to Anthony Sain, but Luka, first player in postseason history to lead the entire postseason, entire NBA, in points, rebounds, and assists entering the NBA
Finals. And it's the weirdest
way.
That's
what I'm saying, doing things we've never seen.
I still go back to what we said before the series – when you watch him, it is so friggin' different, man. And it's this third gear, fifth gear thing he does. He will back you into his ass, and he will bring you under the – and he weaves. He sits out plays. It is a 25-year-old who looks like somebody that's 50 years old trying to play pickup over at the Mariah. It's weird.
What you're touching on is what's so scary, at least for me, as it relates to the Grizzlies. Luka's going to be able to do this for a long
time. Hell yeah,
time
he is.
Because his game is not predicated on athleticism.
So
his game
weird,
is
man.
Predicated on what you just said, how he uses the body, everything else, the spacing he can create with that big body, the fact that you can't speed him up.
No.
He's going to be able to do this for a decade or longer.
Yes.
And maybe stay at this high a level for a longer time because as
it's like Zebo is a guard almost.
As he gets older and you start to lose a little bit of step in athleticism, it won't matter for him, Brad, because his game's not predicated on that. It really doesn't matter whatsoever.
And he's launching
up
balls.
That's not good for the Grizzlies.
It's a problem, man.
I mean, you add the skill to it, now he's bought in on defense. He'll still give up. He'll still take time, take possessions off.
But
hell, with the usage rate, Brad, he has to.
He has to.
As much as you're asking from offense.
40 minutes a game.
But he has stepped it up defensively in a way I didn't think he was going to be capable of. I had mentioned In the playoffs, they're seventh in defense. They were eighth in the regular season after the trade deadline. It's legit. It's not Boston. It's not OKC, which I was telling you was second. Boston's third in these playoffs in defense, but it's good enough. It's good enough. Now, my issue, again, to go back to it, Boston's so deep, right? It won't just be about stopping Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to contain Drew Holiday. You have to get Derek White off this roll he's on. If Porzingis is back and he's at a decent level, you're going to have to contend with him. Oh, by the way, at one point in that series, Al Horford's hitting 7 threes.
Yeah.
That was game three. And so you've got a lot to contend with. But that's a Dallas defense that proved a lot to me. I thought Minnesota had a lot to contend with, too, before I watched Dallas take the mask off of them.
Yeah, and I know.
That was so impressive. And I don't know if it's just a part of me, you know, Fade Brad rooting against you for our listeners so you win or whatever. Or, like, you know, when John puts actual money on something, you come in here the next day, and maybe because you were caught up in it, and I'm disgusted with that effort from Minnesota.
It's piss poor.
Because, I'm hoping that
I was, too. I was hoping for more games.
Yeah, that we get a more competitive ending at least.
Carl Anthony Towns, though, can't go 1-for-6 from three. I mean, I know he scored 28 points, and I know Edwards had a lot of points.
Usually I'd love to come in here and place the blame on him. I've done it when it's been fair to do so. I just thought, yes, he wasn't hitting the three. But from an effort standpoint, he was one of the few that actually looked like he cared last night. That said, I still think they got major questions hanging over him, over them, about whether or not Carl Anthony Towns going forward is a good fit. Or if those resources are better suited, spending them on other role players, whatever else.
That's right.
Like, do you have enough with Anthony Edwards, Gobert, Conley? I don't, again, if he's going to be that inconsistent, making 49, I think it goes up to 60-something million by the time this extension
is
done.
Man.
I got to get it every night
from
that guy. And there's still too much foolish fouling, stuff that shouldn't be happening from him that I think Minnesota – and you want to keep Naz Reid, I would think.
Oh,
so as you got to figure out who you got to pay, you're going to lose some of it, you would think. Maybe it's Carl Anthony Towns. We shall see. We're going to talk to the great Anthony Sain, host of the Anthony Sain Show, here coming up after this break. Before we do, I want to tell you we're in the thick of it in the NBA playoffs, obviously. Now the finals coming up. It's not too late still to get in on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more, including Fade and Brad, like we talked about. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than on America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/JSmith to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JSMITH with new customers getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. It's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA, and, of course, of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonuses issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Can't even see it straight. I can't even see it straight.
Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. Should be checking it out. Done a lot of shows over there now.
Oh, yeah, man. Episode 100 will be this Friday coming up.
How about another round of applause for that, Brad?
Man,
episode
down.
100. That is a mile mark.
Number one.
Didn't think I'd make it to 100, man. There it is.
Lord got you. God got you. Tribal Chief of Gear Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group. He's bringing up the next generation of journalists, especially here locally. Father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. He does it all, including great dad. Follow him on X at Sain Asylum. He joins us now. There is so much to discuss with you, including a concert last night that I did not attend.
What I didn't even know it was happening.
Man, is that a sign that we're old?
Nah, yeah, for sure.
We didn't get the word.
Yeah, I knew it was happening. I didn't know what was happening last night. I knew that she was coming to Memphis.
Right.
I didn't know.
If you had known, would you
have
been there?
No.
Are we too old for that?
I'm definitely too old. Like, I told you, I tell
you
all the time.
You are, I am.
Yeah, I don't do big concert venues. Like, I'll go watch live music in the small, you know,
right, and this thing was sold out. So you'd have been cramped up in there. Yeah.
I'm good.
Are you a Meg Thee Stallion fan?
Not particularly. I mean, like, for music, I mean, not particularly. I don't particularly dislike it, but I don't wake up like, let me bump that Meg type stuff.
Do you?
But I ain't gonna
wake
lie,
up wanting to bump that Glorilla?
This summer, yeah, I do. I bump Glow for sure.
Yeah, she's local.
This summer has been, I'm so over the whole Drake and Kendrick Lamar thing. Like,
me too.
Like, the gloominess of that whole thing. Like, I've been.
Well, people were saying
I've been bumping a lot of toxic, just.
Did that help hip-hop?
Junk food
rap forward.
For sure.
Remember, that was the narrative as it was happening.
I think it was a nice, you know, a ribbon or bow to put on that era. But I just kind of think, I think we'll never see a rap battle again. I think that the days of rapidy rap rappers are kind of been gone. I think that those days are over. And I think that Kendrick and Drake were probably the last two remnants of that. Because, I mean, Drake is way past being just a rapidy rap rapper at this point. Like, he's a pop star at this point. Like, he just dropped another song with Sexy Red.
You know? I still hadn't heard of you.
So, yeah, and then he rapped on the BBL Drizzy beat, too.
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah,
he took it and flipped it and rapped on himself.
The song with Sexy Red, he changes the beat, and it's the BBL Drizzy beat.
Oh, goodness.
He says, call Drake if you're trying to get your body done. Then it turns into the BBL
Drizzy. I'm so tired, I couldn't even pay attention. I'm so tired of the beef.
Like, Drake is such a pop artist, he don't even care. Okay, beef's over, you know, back to what I've been doing for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So
I hate this, though, because one thing about this come out of this, and maybe it's just my silly family, but like Chris sends me these, you know, these gifts and stuff from social media that, mm-hmm. you know, where folks are making fun of Drake because mm-hmm. now they say, you know, he messes with children and everything else. People have taken this and run with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In a way that I don't think is positive.
Yeah, that whole part is it's been kind of awful, really.
Yeah, that part of it was ugly.
Yeah,
either way you look at it.
So yeah, like I said, but what I said all that to say is that, you know, there's definitely a renaissance in, you know, women's rap right now, women's hip hop. And like I said, sign me up for all the toxic rap, all the cotton candy, junk food rap. I'm down for all of it. I don't care about substance anymore. I don't care about your bars. I don't care about if you can rap. Does it get the thotties out like Meg and Glorilla did last night? That's all I really care about.
That thing was sold out. Looked like it was a good experience for those that attended.
And I saw plenty of pictures up and down my timeline.
Folks were decked out.
It was egregious, and I was down for all of it.
Yeah, so I think Glow put it ratchet.
Right.
Are you ready to get ratchet?
Put your ratchet stuff on. I live minutes from FedEx Forum. It's like 5 minutes away.
So you could have gone down there if you wanted to.
I could just feel a gust of twerk air just beating up against my house like a tornado.
It's probably like you could feel it on the ground, the twerking.
It was an amazing feeling, Brad Carson. It was just...
Like a tremor.
Yeah, I could just feel it.
In the ground.
I live so close to FedEx Forum, man. It was like it was a gust of twerk air that just... You know, you feel a tornado coming, you just feel it.
Of course, yes.
Like, I could just feel it hit my house. I checked the forecast, and
is it a storm
clear.
Of twerking coming through?
Yeah, I could feel it, man.
You already got Brad baffled in terms of stretch marks.
Yeah,
don't have him
Tiger stripes and all that, yeah.
Tiger stripes.
I don't want Brad doing any research.
Looking up twerking and all that. We don't need
twerk errors would be the right
thing. Stacey would not approve. Yeah. No question about it. Yeah. All right. What we saw last night from Luka and Dallas, were you as amazed as we were?
Oh, yeah, for sure. When I watched Dallas winning that series, the thing that I gather from that is Dallas, there are a lot of teams who try to play copycat basketball, right? Where it's like, okay, you know, you got to get a big that can stop Jokic or whatever, right?
Sure.
Newsflash, Dallas does not have a big that can stop Jokic. Minnesota didn't either. But teams like them, those two, they doubled and tripled down on what they're good at, bro. They say, you know, we're not Denver, you know what I mean? But we're going to be really good at this. We have two of the best shot creators of all time in Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
Come stop us. Like, if we got this, and these other three guys are going to be athletic, play defense, run around the court, make stuff hard for you, and these two dudes are going to average 60 points a game in the playoffs. You know what I mean? And, bro, these finals are going to be really good. And I'm super happy because, you know, for the last couple of years, I've been the whole, get these old-ass dudes out of here. Get LeBron out of my face. Get Steph Curry out of my face. Get KD out of my face. I'm so happy to see two guys that are around 25, 26 years old. One of them is going to be an NBA champion leading their team for the first time. And that's the type of stuff I want to see, man. The new era of basketball coming in. I'm excited for teams like Minnesota had me excited. Oklahoma City, the Knicks, us, of course. I'm trying to think of other young teams. The Pacers. Like, I'm happy to see these teams that are led by guys around, you know, in their 20s,
absolutely.
Early 20s.
I'm with you.
That are, the leaders of the new NBA. And I'm super excited about it. I had our guy, Cantrell Macklin was on my show. You can check that out today on the Anthony Sane show. We were a little bit more unbuttoned than he was on here.
You know, as you can be.
You know, we got a little looser on my show or whatever. But it was a great interview with him. But we were just talking about the future of the NBA, man. And he was a very talented guy as far as evaluating guys. And just the way he explains basketball. So make sure you check that out. But like I said, he was just co-signing that the future of the NBA is now. Like, we're watching the future of the NBA. And like I said, those four juggernauts you're about to see when the finals start in Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum versus Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. It's going to be a great finals, in my opinion. I think it comes down to Porzingis. Like, what
that's how I was going
to
go with you. How much of a difference is he in terms of who wins the series?
And the thing is, with Dallas, you know you're going to get Luka, right? You know you're going to get Kyrie. Even if they have off games, they're going to balance each other off. Mm-hmm. They're averaging 60 points a game, you know, in that series. But I think the thing that I think gives Boston the advantage is, you got Tatum, you got Brown, but you also got Jrue Holiday, you got White over there. You know what I mean? You got guys who have
those are the two to me. Put them over the top. Yeah. So then probably Porzingis. Like, what they get from those two on both ends.
Right. It's kind of like Boston's got the big Joker and they got the big Joker and the little Joker, but they got the Ace of Spades and the King too.
Yeah, they
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's guaranteed four books they got. So, you know what I mean? Like I said, I could probably tell that analogy a little different as a Spades analogy because you got Luka and Kyrie on the other side. But y'all get what I'm trying to say.
Y'all
make it make sense. Y'all know what I mean. But, like I said, I think it's going to be a really good series, man. I think it ultimately comes down to Porzingis because I think he can kind of come in and really disrupt a lot of stuff and kind of nullify some of the bigs that, Minnesota has. I mean, Dallas has, whatever. But, I think it's going to be a good finals, man. I think it's good for the league. It is two larger markets, you know what I mean? So that whole narrative is kind of out of the window because all the small market teams are gone. But I am glad to see two young guys, two very young teams with young cores, you know, going at it pretty much for the championship.
How disappointed should we be if Boston doesn't win it? How disappointed should Celtics fans be? Because, again, this is a Dallas team that, while accomplished,
mm-hmm.
Two out of the last 3 years they've made the Western Conference Finals. They haven't been to this point.
Yeah.
You have how much are we talking bad about the Celtics if they don't win, or are we because of the way we've been awakened by Luka?
Any criticism at this point, I think, would be very fair for Boston because it seems like it's laid out on the table. It's not going to be easy.
They
even got
to go through Jokic. Yeah, I mean,
it's not
going
to be an easy
champs.
Series, but it does feel like they need to do it. I talk a lot about how we talk about breaking Boston up too soon compared to Jordan and Scottie Pippen, right?
Yeah,
where Tatum and Brown were always younger than Jordan and Scottie were. We just kind of put them on a different scale because those guys were in the conference finals.
Very true.
Day one. But we judged them on a different scale, right?
They didn't win first playoff series till 25.
Right.
Like, all that didn't happen until after that.
Right.
Yeah, to your
like,
point.
They were victims of their own success, right?
Yeah.
We were judging them.
That's
we good were
call.
Expecting them to be way better than what they were, but the expectations were crazy because no one else was doing what they were doing. Like,
right.
These guys were going to the conference finals as rookies in the league. Right?
6-5. It's
right,
crazy.
Right. Now they're at that age, though. Like, Jason Tatum is the age that Michael Jordan was when he won his first championship. Jaylen Brown is the age that Scottie Pippen was, or all the way around or something. But, like, this is the year. The numbers and the ages add up, right? So it's like, at this point, it's like, okay, based on, you know, the probably the greatest duo of all time, you know, they're on the clock. To me, in my opinion, they're on the clock. This is when they're seriously on the clock at this point, if you're going to compare them to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. But like I said, it does feel like this year they're supposed to win. I've always thought the criticism about Boston and trying to break those two guys up has been extremely crazy to me.
I was one of them at one point, but
they're too young. They're too young, man. Because if you look at the Utah Jazz, some dudes played for 20 years together and they never won nothing. Like, but you never heard anybody talking about breaking up Stockton and Malone.
Right.
But I think the Jordan era just started all this over-criticizing of eras and championships. You know, back in the day, man, if you had a winning team, your fan base was good. Nobody was talking about breaking up your stars because you didn't win the championship. Like, that, all that talk started happening after Jordan and once LeBron came into the league.
But with those two, there's still, with those other two tandems you brought up, there's no debate on whose team it was in those instances. And I think some of it with early on with Brown and Tatum is like, they're bumping into each other rather
which
than
is also
being,
crazy.
Because
like,
we knew it was Mike's team, you knew it was Karl Malone's team, even though John's getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I think for a while, it felt like it's supposed to be Jason's team, but Jaylen may takes away. I'm with you now that you throw that out, that it was ridiculous to ever even think about breaking them up. But I think maybe that was part of it.
I still think it's Tatum's team.
Well, it's his team.
Because the thing with that is, I think a lot of reasons why Brown goes off the way he does is because teams are strategizing to take Tatum out. Right. And they know that Tatum's a better shooter. Tatum's a better ball handler. If Brown kills us, we just get killed. And this is what typically happens. Brown kills you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He will do it.
Right. So,
especially motivated.
Yes, exactly. So I'm looking forward to see it, man. Jason Tatum is my favorite non-Grizzly in the league. I'm pulling for
really?
Him. Oh, yeah,
favorite?
For sure.
He used to be higher on my
list. Oh, yeah. Tatum is easily
my
favorite.
He can go back up. He goes ahead and gets this title.
Yeah, that's Gabe's guy for sure. Gabe was getting the Jason Tatum haircut in the barbershop for about a good 3-4 year run of his life, for sure.
We need him back getting Ja haircuts.
That's
what I'm saying. We need to get it back on the floor now.
I don't know if he'll ever get it like that again. It's hard to maintain Gabe's hair during the sports time because his, you know, Gabe, if he lived with me, probably so. But his mom don't really give a crap. His mom don't want him to have hair at all. So she
chop it off.
Yeah, she ain't participating in nothing. Got to maintain natural hair. So,
what do you think about this newest ESPN My Draft's got Grizzlies taking Dalton Connect? Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely somebody. If the Grizz stay at 9, that I would definitely take. He's a guy that kind of would free up you to either let
move Kennard,
either move Kennard or let him walk and just free up their cap space to get you back under the put the MLE back in play to kind of make things move a little different this summer. It's kind of, man, my anxiety is going crazy because there are so many options and so many routes the Grizzlies can take, man. It's like they can go out, you can trade an asset to go get like a Jared Allen type guy or Nick Claxton.
That's what I want at this point.
Or you can go get, you know, all these type of guys, right? Or Mitchell Robinson or whatever you're doing, right? It's like you have so many, you can go that route. Or you can say, you know what, we're just going to get we're going to draft the big in the draft or whatever. Whether it's a 9, whether it's a 15, whether it's a 20, we might pull Edie out the pile and draft him up to 9 or whatever you do. Then that's a cheap contract, right? Or you can go out and say, okay, we're gonna let Kennard walk. And we're just gonna go sign a mid-level exception big during the offseason. Or you can say, I'm just gonna take a guy who's with the taxpayer exception and go get a guy at that rate. Or I'm gonna trade for a mid-level guy. Trade for a smaller contract. There's so many avenues the Grizzlies can come in.
What's the one you want them to take?
I don't have one, bro. Like,
you don't have a favorite.
That's what's crazy.
It's not go get a guy like Jared Allen. That's not right.
If that happened, I would be amped. I would be totally sold on it within 10 seconds. But I'm going to tell you another scenario that I've been looking at because from a story that came out today. If you look at that same article that Giovanni put out about his latest mock draft, right? And not only his article, there's been a lot of talk about the Grizzlies willing to move up to go get Donovan Klingon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got on the phone with my man Chris Ingram, who has another podcast you can check out on Bluff City Media as well. I called my guy Chip Williams, who's the draft analyst for Bluff City Media, right? You can check out Chris's show Mondays at 12. So we just started talking, bro, because I'm a cold cracking dude. You know that, right?
Yes, I'm aware.
And I know my guy, Zach Kleiman, bro. I'm the guy to introduce you all to Zach Kleiman. I introduced King Kleiman, because I heard about the Grizzlies front office flipping over, and I heard about him operating as the GM before he was the GM the year before, the year that he drafted Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, I knew that he made that pick, and I started teasing. Like, there's this guy that's like a ghost GM. Like, he's not the GM yet, but I'm telling you, this is the dude that's making decisions for the Grizzlies. I introduced y'all to King Kleiman, right? So, I know this is my guy, bro. We go back like the Joker and Batman, right? For real. Okay. Like, I know how he moves, right? Not one time in Zach Kleiman's career has he moved backwards in the draft. As a matter of fact, he either tries to re-enter the draft or he tries to move up in every draft. That's been the Grizzlies' history, right?
Yep.
So when I heard Giovanni say, Gavoni. Yeah. Giovanni.
I actually like that better.
Great man of clothing line. Yeah. But no, so when I saw the report saying that the Grizzlies are willing to move up to go get Klingon, right? I said, I said, okay, that sounds like Zach. That sounds like a Zach Kleiman move, right? He's a move up type of dude, right? So I'm like, okay. The last time Zach Kleiman called himself moving up, he was trying to get.
Oh, no.
That's another thing, too. I know you, Zach Kleiman. You didn't fool me with the Josh Giddey stuff, right? I know you wanted. What's the kid's name? Orlando Magic.
The Zaire draft?
Mm-mm. I know you wanted Franz Wagner. I know you wanted Franz Wagner the year you got Zaire, right? Uh-huh. You didn't fool me with the whole. I know you fooling me with the Josh Giddey stuff, right? I know you don't want freak ass Josh Giddey on this team. I knew it, right? I knew you wanted Franz Wagner.
He had
Wagner,
done his homework.
Right. So he was trying to move up, right? But he didn't move up enough to go get his guy, right? So I said, if Kleiman gets the opportunity to move again, he's going to move up high enough to go get his guy. So I'm like, if I'm the Grizzlies, right, where am I going to go to make sure I can get Donovan Klingon? He ain't going one, Jason Smith.
No, he's not going one.
But you know who I'm going to call? I'm going to call the bumbiest team in NBA history, the Washington Wizards, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, you know what? Y'all are bums.
You need everything.
And y'all have a dude on your team that's a versatile 4-3 that can guard any position on the court, shoots well, play makes, can dribble. You got Denny Avdija, right, on your team, right? He's got a pretty nice deal y'all just signed him to. let me trade y'all a deal that can possibly disappear if y'all want to. I mean, I'm gonna send y'all Luke Kennard. I'm gonna send y'all some other maybe Isaiah Williams to make the money work. I'm gonna send y'all the number 9 pick in this year's draft, and I'm gonna send you a future first round pick. Because something else I've learned about my guy is Zach Kleiman. He will overpay to go get what he wants. For Marcus Smart, he traded 2 first round picks to go get Marcus Smart, right? Yeah. In the past, I can't remember another deal he made, but he'll give up first round picks. He'll go do, he was willing to give up 4 or 5 first round picks to go get Mikal Bridges. He doesn't care about that. To go get his guy on his roster, he don't care. He'll go get his dude. At least that's what he tries to do. I would offer Luke Kennard, who technically, I might be mistaken. Salary cap nerds out there, you tell me. I think that the Grizzlies can trade Kennard before the 29th, which is the date he has to be either
on the option.
Right, I believe they can trade him before then, and then another team has the option to say, okay, I'm not picking up that option, so that money disappears. Or they can keep him. I'm going to say, watch it. I'm going to give you 9 this year. I'm going to give you a future first-round pick, and you're going to send us Denny Avia in 2. We get Klingon, we get Denny Avia. I'm going to tell you something else about Denny Avia. I know for sure the Grizzlies had interest.
I don't know if they're doing this,
dude. I know for sure the Grizzlies had interest in Denny Avia coming into the draft. And he's one of those dudes.
I believe you on that.
Washington is so ass that nobody really knows how good Denny Avia is. I'm telling you, I know my boy Zach Kleiman, man. I know how he moves.
You'd come out of that with Klingon and Avia? That's a dream scenario.
I said this year's 9 and a future first, right?
Yes.
I'm starting there. This is Zach Kleiman, bro. That we just saw him offer 4 of them for Mikal Bridges. We know that happened.
Did it get up to 4? Was it 3?
I heard
4?
It was.
Okay. They were willing to give up
4. Once you hit 3, you might as well say 4. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm telling you, bro, Klingon is a madman. And he kind of being kind of thotty this summer, too, man, because I've never heard the Grizzlies' name thrown out this much in, like, rumors, like, at all. Like, he's out here just being kind of a hot body for sure, man. Like, he's out here just kind of slutting himself to the other GMs because I'm here. I ain't used to hearing my boy name like that. But I studied Zach Kleiman, bro. I ain't used to hearing my guy name out there like that. But I've been hearing that man a lot this year for sure. He was out there. He out there twerking with the GMs like Glorilla and making the stack of us. Hey, I'm telling you, man. We've never heard the Grizzlies. Like, we're hearing something about the Grizzlies and somebody every day, bro. Whether it's Jared Allen. Whether it's, I know another name that I can put on the air. We're hearing a lot of stuff about the Grizzlies and movement this summer when it comes down to bigs.
Yep.
And it's been all through the spectrum, whether it's guys that are like all-star bigs like Jared Allen, all the way down to just drafting a big and Donovan Klingon. We're hearing all this type of stuff. What's his name running off at the mouth? He pillow talking with Zach Kleiman with Drew Hill. Zach Eady. Yeah, Eady. I talked to the Grizzlies. I like them and they like me. He's just out here, man. Like Zach Kleiman just out here, just all over the place.
Klingon, you can just plug in, and he's contributing all through the regular season into the playoffs, playing like a Derek Lively is for – not a comparison of players, but Lively is an impact guy.
He can come in
and impact Dallas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He'll be a rookie impactor all the way through.
Whether he's playing 15 to 20 minutes or 30 to 35 minutes, he's going to be an impact player on the team if Klingon's on the team. If he starts or if you don't start him. Because if you get a guy like Avia, you may want to do a Jaren Avia 5-4. You know, I'm looking at GG at the 3, Bane, Ja. Bro, I ain't gonna lie, bro. I have no intel on it. This is just strictly watching how my boy Kleiman moves and just following patterns of how he thinks. And guys that I know he's got interest in. And then just knowing Washington is a bummy-ass organization. Like, that's all I'm basing this on.
That's interesting. I will say I'm a little bit flustered by the fact that you've already moved Marcus Smart out of the starting line and put GG in
there. Hey, I'm gonna tell you why.
I'll be watching you on Twitter. I'm watching your moves.
I'm gonna tell you why.
Man, it's go time.
What do you mean? With Smart and Gigi?
No, I'm just saying it's time to win big. I want my vets out there.
I love
Gigi. He's coming. But I don't want to put that much pressure on him on a contender to start next year.
I hear that, man. But, man, you can just look at the gleam in that kid's eyes, JC.
Oh, I am with you that I believe he is a future
star. He's got
star.
The DNA. And he might become a star.
You have the luxury of bringing him on and letting him earn his right on a contender. It's like a luxury.
I could also see him being a dude who becomes that dude in the playoffs, kind of like Michael Porter Jr. did. Like, you see this dude who, man, that dude was like a bad back kid in college a couple years ago. Now he's knocking down big-time jump shots.
Even though he got shut down against Minnesota. But the Lakers, he was.
I think that back might have got a little tight on him.
Or something. Well, the whole family situation, his brothers
they
and what they're
out,
going
man.
Through. Like, just for him out. To play that well against the Lakers, I thought was a credit to him.
Yeah, I had another comment to make because, you know, they king, one of they big – people they support is in the news too, so they're super stressed out today. Right?
I feel guilty now because a lot of the talk in these playoffs as we watched Minnesota dispatch the defending champs was like, I fear Minnesota now. Like, as a Grizzlies fan, somebody that covers.
You got to lean into what you're good at.
Well, I just wonder if that's changed a little bit after what we saw last. You know, because I will say, as much as I love Anthony Edwards and we just said all the good about him, man, he was talking too much this
year.
It started to feel a little bit like young Grizzlies a few years ago when you're running your mouth and haven't finished off anything.
Yeah, Minnesota's going to be good. Like,
They're not going away. I'm with you on that. I'm just maybe I shouldn't fear them as much as I did because they still got a lot to learn, clearly.
Here's the thing about Minnesota. This might – people.
What about Carl? What do you do with
him? That's what I'm saying. People are giving them this long runway. Like, oh, man, like – because people did a poll, like, what young player do you see with the most championships in the next 4 or 5 years? And like, oh, Minnesota. Like, bro, taking a five-second look at their salary cap situation, they may be in a situation, bro, where they've got to let Naz Reid and McDaniels go. Like, that could very well happen. And you're talking about a team who's starting point guard. We're here in Memphis waiting on this dude to retire so we can give him a ceremony.
No, you're right. He ain't getting any younger, Mike Conley.
Mike Conley's 38 years old, man. He's about to be 38 years old next year. And there's a video going around with him and Al Horford talking about guys that are left from their draft class.
Oh, like yeah, they did an interview together.
Like him, Jeff Green, Al Horford, Mike Conley, Jeff Green. Oh, who are the other two dudes? Man, I can't remember. But there's a handful of guys.
No, it's very few.
And it's like, you don't have a long, because Mike Conley has been a big difference in their team, like getting him over the end.
No, they need him. You're right.
I'm going to tell you who I fear Minnesota getting their hands on, though. That dude with the Pacers, Nembhard.
He is getting better.
Because there are people saying, like, he would be perfect in Minnesota, and he would, yes. He would be great in Minnesota, bro. Like,
I thought you were going to tell me T.J. McConnell or something.
Nah,
Nembhard came on in these playoffs.
And Tyus Jones going back there.
Big shots.
Tyus Jones going back there, this summer scares me, too.
Because
he's a free agent, too. Like, if they get Tyus, bro, hey, I ain't gonna lie, Minnesota might be good for a while.
No, they're going to be a problem. They're not going away.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be good, for sure.
I need to bring them down a peg.
I like how they leaned on what they're good at, man. Like, I like how they just said, you know what, we're going to do what we do, bro. Like, we're going to play, even though it didn't work. Because I thought they should have pulled either Gobert or Cat this series. They should have just played one of those two. I said that against Denver, too, though, right? But they leaned into it. It didn't work out. But like I said, I'm down for teams saying, okay, this is what we're good at. We're not trying to be Denver. We're not trying to be Boston if they win this year. So, whatever. We're just going to be good at what we do.
Do you buy in, to kind of take it back around, full circle to Dallas, do you buy into what Van Gundy keeps saying, that is the best offensive backcourt we have ever seen?
I think anybody who says that is in denial.
Steph and Clay, I guess, is up there. Right?
We're talking about talent, though, right?
We're talking about offensive talent.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Like you said, two of the best creators that have ever played.
I had this conversation with a guy on Facebook, and people just get so caught up in nostalgia and even recent nostalgia, right? And this isn't a championship conversation because Luka and Kyrie together, even if they win this year, they'll have 2-1, right?
Right.
Or if they lose, it'll be 1 for Kyrie and none for Luka. This isn't a ring. Ring talk is such a silly conversation to me anyway. But if you're talking about most talented backcourts of all time, this is easily that, bro. Like, these are two of the most creative ball handlers, scorers, shot makers, can score from three, score from mid-range, can take you out the dribble, free throw making, getting to the basket.
Closers.
Closing, you know what I mean? Clutch gene, all these things. That's what you got in your backcourt.
It's crazy.
Klay Thompson was a great player, don't get me wrong, but you're talking about a guy who scored because of other dudes. Like,
he
came off screens, he was a spot-up shooter. You couldn't say, all right, Steph, get out the way, get the ball to Clay. Clay, go win the game.
It's like two of the greatest shooters ever together, in terms of the entire offensive game, it doesn't come
Klay
close.
Klay Thompson isn't as talented as Kyrie or Luka Doncic.
Correct.
It's not even a real conversation. And I had a guy that was like,
anybody else that were elite?
Man, I can't think of nobody close, bro. Like, no, I can't think of nobody close. I can think of some that they tried.
Mike never had anybody in the backcourt like that. So
yeah,
take him out of there.
Yeah, he was more of a – because Mike was a 2-3 and Scotty was a 3. So, they weren't in the backcourt together.
It's amazing, man, because I never thought it would work.
I came in here.
I came in here and
had celebration parties for them dudes last year.
And to say, Kyrie has changed.
Oh, yeah.
And we've discussed that. That's part of it. And you have to credit Dallas. Kendrick Perkins was talking about – he, like, went and apologized to Kyrie this week. About the new, sort of what he used to say about him compared to where he's now. And Perkins, and rightly so, credited Dallas and how comfortable they've made it for
him. I was just about to say that. It shows you what a little bit of love can do to a player, man. If you get a guy and let him know we trust you, you belong here, we want you here, it changes things, bro. Like,
changed him completely.
Like, a change of environment, like, does stuff for people, bro. We saw this with Zach Randolph here. Come on,
that's a good call on Zach.
Is it, I mean, yeah. Like, who was more written off? Bro, imagine Zach Randolph.
Imagine Zach Randolph
in the Twitter generation, bro. Like, how you would, like, the stuff Zach was accused of back then, bro. Like, he would be getting destroyed on social media.
You're
like,
right.
But the fact that we saw Z-Bo rehabilitated, it was a love thing.
It really was.
Yeah, I just saw them put this dude in a crown, crown him and put him on a throne a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? In Memphis.
Sir.
So I think those type of things matter. I'm happy for Kyrie. He's like the conversation we had on here, you know, I guess a year or so ago was, brother, I'm not knocking you for what you believe. I'm not knocking you for what you stand on, any of those things. But you also have an obligation to make those things look digestible. Like,
right.
You can't, if you're out there making those things look weird, they shouldn't look weird to anybody. You know what I mean? If that's what you're doing, or if it's offending somebody, you're doing something wrong, Kyrie. And I think he's realized, I can still stand on my beliefs. I can stand on my faith. I can stand on my ethnic beliefs, all these type of things. Because he's got the shoe now that's showing his beliefs and where he is as far as his ethnic beliefs and his, you know, those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing all type of things to let you know, this is how I feel, this is what I stand on. But he's making it look, I don't want to say normal, but it looks like it's just everyday life to him. It's not like he's not being aggressive, he's not being abrasive with it. And I think he's done a great, he doesn't change anything about the way he feels, the way he thinks.
Right.
But he's acting with a lot more maturity with the way he's going about it. And like, I'm happy for him. I want Boston to win. But I would not be mad to see my boy Kyrie get another one as well.
Last thing, mm-hmm. and I wonder if I was doing a little bit too much crying. Now, you were kind of agreeing with me mm-hmm. last week about Ja's camp. Now, Ja did raise mm-hmm. that price up from $179 to $199. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
So he clearly was not listening or didn't give a hot damn right. about what we had to say. But I'm going to tell you, but on Facebook, there's a post about his camp.
Now, you know, Jaren got a camp, too.
I saw that. He's not charging that much. Mm-hmm. He is charging. He's not charging that much. But there's a Facebook post that underneath, and I was looking at the comments, mm-hmm. expecting maybe a one or two be like, man, that's too high or whatever.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing but folks sending them, you know, a note to say, hey, parents, come look at this. We want to go to. Nobody's talking about that it's too expensive.
We might just be broke, Smith. We might just be old and broke. I think it's weird.
Are we putting too much responsibility on Ja when we ask him for a free camp because others have done it before?
I think that, too. I think we're comparing him to things. We sound like the
what
old
we've
man.
We've seen
in the
like, past. That's what I'm wondering. And I'm willing to check myself.
Who in the hell is Larry Finch? No, Ja's probably like, man, who the hell is Larry Finch?
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think it's some of that. I mean, we get it, and then not only that, bro.
And
we
there are still NBA players who are not charging in 2024, so it's not just like everybody's charging.
And I don't think.
But that man went up. Now they did that, had that in the fine print. They said our price will go up, and it did.
And see, I was just about to say something. I had to stop myself and correct myself, right?